from Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:27 here, Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. Hope you're having a good morning. Talking today once again with 58th District Senator Paul Shemp. How are you doing this morning?
Good to be here, Jeff. This is my last People Speak as an Illinois State Senator. I, you know, certainly hope to come back on in the future because, you know, I don't think my political career is finished quite yet, but this is the last one as a state senator. So, as always, good to be down here. I've enjoyed coming in here to the studio for the past 4 years. It's always been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've always enjoyed having you. And again, the welcome is there for any time you want to come back because we love having you on. I mean, your thoughts and everything on things that are going on in the world, which there's a lot that, you know, are and in Illinois here especially. But we'll definitely keep you on our list.
I look forward to it. And, you know, as I said, the reason I say this is my last People Speak appearance as a state senator is my term is up on Wednesday of next week. As of noon on Wednesday of next week, Terry Bryant will be your new state senator. You know, I have a lot of people, you know, asking me, you know, what I think about Terry. And, you know, I think the world of her. I think the district is in good hands. There is absolutely, you know, Terry has been a state representative for a while. You know, I can tell you there is nobody that will work harder than Terry in Springfield to represent our district. So I'm happy for Terry. You know, I think she's going to try to do the same thing I did, which was just work hard, tell the truth, and keep your promises. I mean, that's really, you know, that's all you can do. And that's really, you know, what we should expect of all of our elected officials. So Senate term is coming to an end on Wednesday of next week. In between now and then, I get to make one more trip up to Springfield. We're going to be having a lame duck session, so I will get to cast some more votes, and we can talk about that a little bit later in the interview.
Okay. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get our commercial break in here, and we will come back and talk with Senator Paul Shemp here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. 9:36. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak, talking today with Illinois Senator Paul Shemp, and as you mentioned, your last official day as officially as a senator on the People Speak anyway, not day, you know, I mean, you've got another week to go yet. But.
Right, and it looks like what's going to happen is I will be going up either Sunday or Monday. We don't know when the Senate's going to be voting. The Illinois House is in session today. The House convened today. You know, but the Senate doesn't have to go in quite as early. So the plan, as I understand it right now, is, you know, go in Sunday night, may or may not take some votes on Sunday night, but then be voting on Monday and Tuesday in this lame duck session. All that we're voting on are some of the social justice equity proposals that the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus has put forward. There is one particular bill, you know, where they are looking to make major changes to law enforcement in Illinois. That's House Bill 163. You know, I haven't had a chance to review the legislation yet. You know, the problem with how they're doing this lame duck session is it's a very narrow lame duck. They're not covering a lot of stuff. It really is just these bills from the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus, and these bills have been drafted in secret. Nobody's had the opportunity to take a look at them. There hasn't been much in the way of transparency. So, you know, this bill, HB 163, is over 600 pages long. You know, it hasn't been given to me in a timely manner. But it was, you know, these changes in, you know, to law enforcement practices in Illinois were drafted. I know this is going to sound incredible, but they were drafted without the input of Illinois' law enforcement community. So that to me right there is a huge red flag right from the get-go. There's been a lot of talk in our country about the importance of process, you know, rule of law and process. And we do have a process, you know, in Illinois that that legislation is supposed to go through if it's going to be passed. And it's one where there's transparency, people get a chance to look at it. Really, you know, anytime you're rushing something through at the end, you're not really getting a good result from that. So I am very skeptical, you know, about the legislation that we're going to be voting on in the lame duck session.
Usually if they're trying to rush something through too, you kind of wonder what they're trying to hide that they don't want you to really have time to look at.
Exactly. You know, it's also when politicians start talking about, oh, this is an emergency, and you know, that's usually the time to say, you know, wait a minute, let's slow things down and figure out, you know, what's really in front of us. The other thing that you know, I'm frustrated about with this lame duck session is there is stuff that, you know, we needed attention from the Illinois General Assembly on for like the past year. You know, really, you know, there was no fall veto session. We were in session really for just like 4 days in May. But, you know, if we're going to have a lame duck session, if we're going to be called back in, you know, why are we not providing oversight on the COVID-19 pandemic response? You know, if we have to be in Springfield for a session, we should be having another hearing on the tragedy at the LaSalle Veterans Home, where there have now, you know, I think you and I have talked about it a little bit before, but there's now been 35 deaths at this facility due to COVID-19, you know, and this was a facility with only 120 residents. So you've had over a quarter of the residents of this facility died. We've had a couple hearings already on this, but at the hearings we've had, the Illinois Department of Public Health has declined to send anybody that has any authority or that was working for the department when most of the deaths were occurring. IDPH hasn't sent anybody that can give lawmakers questions or provide answers to the people of Illinois, and that is unacceptable. But if we are going to be in Springfield for a lame duck session, why not have a hearing about that? And so far, we're not. Why not have a hearing about the governor's policies that he's trying to put forward through executive order and administrative rules? I'm going to be up there for a JCAR meeting. I didn't think I was going to be on JCAR anymore, but I'm going to have one more meeting. But the governor has been putting through all of these administrative rules where he has been usurping the function of the legislature. I mean, if we think back to our seventh grade civics class, you know, we know that the legislature makes the laws and the executive branch enforces the laws. Well, what we've had in Illinois for the past year is the executive branch is both enforcing the law, but it's also making the law through executive orders. That's not the way a responsible government should be running. And if we're going to have a lame duck session, why not have some pandemic oversight hearings as part of this lame duck? But we're not doing that. Instead, we're only voting on these proposals from the Legislative Black Caucus that nobody really knows what's in them yet because they were drafted in secret without transparency and they're being rushed through. So the lame duck session is not an example of good government. This is not, you know, one of my phrases that I've used is this is no way to run a railroad. You know, we should not be having a lame duck session.
And we've said before, and I've thought the entire time, that the legislature needs to be, I mean, is supposed to be involved more than, you know, in this past year. As you said, it's just been one person basically dictating, and that's a word people don't like to hear, and especially with government leaders.
Right. And the, you know, the blame for the legislature not being involved is really it's on three people. You know, first of all, I can't, as a member of the Illinois Senate, I have no power to convene the Senate. Nobody, the only person that has power to convene the Senate is the president of the Senate, Don Harmon. So it's been President Harmon's decision not to convene the Senate and provide legislative oversight or get the work done that the people of Illinois needed. I mean, we needed work from the Illinois legislature with respect to reopening our schools and making sure that our local school boards and superintendents, you know, had the tools that they needed to get schools reopened fully. And the legislature dropped the ball and, you know, abdicated their responsibility on that. Same thing in the Illinois House. You know, I know Representative Bryant was saying we need to go back in and do some work. Well, the only person that can convene the Illinois House is Speaker Mike Madigan. You know, and if he doesn't want to convene, you know, then, you know, the House isn't going to convene. You know, the other person that I, you know, that I blame for the legislature not doing its duty is actually Governor Pritzker. You know, Governor Pritzker had a responsibility to say, look, Speaker Madigan, President Harmon, we need a government that is responsible, that is doing what it's supposed to be doing. I'm asking you to get your respective houses back in session. Or Governor Pritzker has the ability to call a special session of the Illinois General Assembly, and he's been unwilling to do that. Those three individuals and those individuals alone are the ones that really have failed in their responsibility to allow the Illinois legislature to do its duty.
Very much. And a lot of things that, you know, that have been going on over the past year need some oversight.
It is, you know, and it's, you know, I touched on, you know, the pandemic oversight, reopening the schools. You know, there's not been any willingness to make decisions with regard to the Illinois budget. The people of Illinois, pretty, you know, both Republican and Democrat, decisively rejected Governor Pritzker's tax hike amendment. You know, and the message that Illinois politicians should take from that is, look, you know, we expect our government to tighten its belt and try to spend responsibly. You know, even though due to the pandemic, revenues were way down, we still increased spending a little bit in our latest budget. I voted no on it, but it was passed with increased spending. And then it was also reliant on borrowing money from the federal government. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a balanced budget if you're borrowing money from the federal government, trying to count on a bailout that may or may not come.
Like one that's just hit is the gas tax. I mean, 11 cents up, you know, per gallon on that. And I actually saw a breakdown, and you had talked about before, of the different layers of taxes under, you know, in Illinois.
Right. And, you know, what people don't realize is our gas taxes are going up every single year now. That vote to raise gas taxes, which I voted against. And the reason, you know, I voted against was, you know, I know that we need to spend money on infrastructure stuff, but I had said, look, part of the infrastructure spending has to be paid for by, you know, by reducing spending. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do that. You know, the government of Illinois has been just increasing spending across the board, and the gas tax, you know, that vote, you know, the gas tax will go up every single year now. You know, just it's going to be indexed to inflation. So, you know, you may not, you know, hear about a vote in Springfield where your gas taxes are going up, but they are going to go up a little bit every single year. And eventually we're going to see that, you know, gas is 50 cents a gallon cheaper in Missouri than it is in Illinois. You know, mm-hmm. And what does that do to a lot of our small retailers that are, you know, that are close to Missouri that are trying to survive?
Exactly. I'll tell you what, we got another break here. Let's go ahead and take that, and we will come back and talk some more with Senator Shemp here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Got a little time left in the program today talking with Senator Paul Shemp here on The People Speak this morning, and we talked a little bit about the lame duck session and some of the things we'll be talking about there. I guess kind of maybe talk a little bit about, kind of recap your last, your time in the Senate.
Well, it's, you know, so I was in the Senate for 4 years. The first year that I was up there, I really wanted to just try to build relationships and learn the system. So I wasn't, you know, I didn't, you know, push a lot of legislation my first year in Springfield. You know, I was following, you know, an exceptional statesman, Dave Luchtefeld, you know, in mm-hmm. that in that seat, and I really wanted to try to emulate him. And so the first year I kept a low profile. The second year that I was in Springfield, you know, I did feel like I got a lot accomplished. That year, that was the year that, you know, I wound up filing legislation to get the strategic planning studies done for the shooting complex in Pyramid State Park. Ultimately, we were able to get that done without legislation, but, you know, filing the legislation was the first step. I also was a critical member of the Higher Education Working Group, which that year, you know, the dean of the Springfield Press Corps, Rich Miller, said that the Higher Education Working Group was the most significant accomplishment to come out of the General Assembly session that year. And what we had done was, We had met with the goal of trying to figure out what we could do to help Illinois universities and colleges recruit and retain our best students, our best high school students. Because one of the things that, you know, is, you know, we talk about population loss with Illinois a lot, but, you know, we're also, we're losing our best students get, you know, go out of state to go to school. You know, and I, you know, it would be a good thing for our state, you know, if our good students stayed in Illinois. So, you know, we were able to draft and get 10 bills passed as part of that, part of the higher education working group. So that was my second, year in Springfield. My third year in Springfield, and, you know, I guess, you know, for those of you that, you know, that haven't been listening, you know, I didn't run for re-election because at the time that I would have had to file to run for re-election, I was under consideration for one of the federal judge vacancies. And, you know, I strongly believe that you have no business running for elected office if you're angling for a different job. So the right. Third year that I was in Springfield was while I was under consideration for the federal judge vacancy. I was President Trump's top choice for, you know, to fill one of those vacancies. And I was told, you know, keep a low profile, try to stay out of the news. Mm-hmm. So I didn't run a lot of legislation my third year in Springfield. And then this past year in Springfield, you know, was basically lost to the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, we were, you know, we basically were sent home, I think, at the end of February, and didn't go back. You know, so nothing, you know, so this last year was lost. But it's, you know, I'm proud of the work that I did. You know, I think your number one job as a senator is you need to be an advocate for the district that you represent. You know, in the 58th Senate District, you know, it's a big district. It goes from Sauget right across from downtown St. Louis all the way down to the bottom of Union County. It reaches out and grabs Mount Vernon. There's a lot of different equities, a lot of different opinions in the district. You have some very conservative areas. You have some very progressive areas. So, you know, and if, you know, if I wasn't a politician, I'm an attorney. I wanted to be a mediator. I have my mediation certificate. I enjoy, you know, trying to find consensus. You know, when people ask me, you know, what the biggest threat is to the state of Illinois right now, I tell them it's the same thing that we face as a country, and that is there is just way too much toxicity in our politics right now. I mean, we have to get back to the place where we could disagree with somebody but still respect their opinion and not think that they were a bad person.
Right.
Before I went to law school, I got my undergraduate degree in mechanical engineering. You know, and as an engineer, one of the things that I realized is you cannot understand or appreciate a problem unless you are looking at it from two perspectives. And, you know, that's why I say we need our political differences of opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, we need each other so that we can understand, you know, all the ramifications and all the challenges that go with a problem. And then, you know, if you're going to have a solution, if you want that solution to have any credibility, you know, you have to be able to say, yes, you know, I've talked and I've listened to the other side and I've addressed their concerns and here's what I'm going to do. There's too much of a tendency to say, you know, if somebody disagrees with me, they're evil. And if I have, you know, if I have power, I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. You know, so the problem with, you know, if you view somebody as evil, you know, then the inhibitor switch gets turned off and you can, you know, you're going to justify anything you want to do. But it has been, you know, it's been an enjoyable 4 years. It has been an honor and a privilege, you know, to represent the people of the district. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, thank you to them, you know, for giving me the opportunity. I've enjoyed it. And, you know, you'll be hearing from me in the future still.
We're looking forward to that.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Senator Shemp here on The People Speak this morning. That'll wrap things up. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend.